We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains us. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, number 365.
Thank you. pray.
God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. Increase our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people toward the fullness of eternal life with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. All right, God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading today is from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him shall it receives forgiveness of sins through his name, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, we'll read Psalm 118 responsibly. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echoing in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not hide, but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord, as it is done, it is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn have received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you are long-term planners? You make your one-year goal, your three-year goal, your five-year goal. You review it regularly, make some little tweaks in it. I saw a couple of hands go up. Some of you like to have your life planned out, don't you? You set your goals, and you want to achieve them. Well, what happens when something catastrophic occurs and all your plans?
Question.
Yeah, what happens then?
You adjust.
You adjust.
Or you panic.
You know, I'm into the panic first, adjust later. Because I think that's what's happening in our gospel. Those who had been following Jesus were starting to make plans. James and John had already gone to Jesus saying, when you come into your glorious kingdom, allow one of us to sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand. I mean, they were making plans. When Jesus came into his kingdom, they were going to have positions of authority in it. Jesus told them that they had no idea what they were asking. And Judas, I think Judas had plans. And Judas was planning that he was going to be a major part of Jesus' rule once he entered into his kingdom. And after all, he could then have more money to administer in the treasury. He could be a really big man. This could be a really good life. And the rest of them, what plans did they have as they followed Jesus? What were they expecting him to be as Messiah? After all, if he was going to be someone great, weren't they going to be great people as well? Weren't they going to have positions of authority? Weren't they going to have nice, cushy lives? Do you think any of them had their eyes set on one of those fine homes out there with servants? A good life. Once Jesus entered into his glorious kingdom, once he raised up his army and freed them from those dreaded Romans, and life was good again. And last week we celebrated Palm Sunday. And the people took branches and they took their cloaks and they strewed them in front of Jesus. And they called out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us. We're expecting salvation. We're expecting the sort of salvation that we're looking for. Salvation from the Roman Empire, these oppressors of our nation. And then later in the week, we hear different cries. We hear especially those cries turn nasty. The cries of crucify him. He's not the Messiah we're looking for. What must it have been like for those who were following Jesus to be there as one of their very own betrays him with a kiss as he is arrested and led off? And even if they weren't there, they heard about it later on and they knew what the sentence was. Death. Some of them would have followed him for a while on that last journey to the cross. We're told the women stayed, but one disciple stayed, and the rest fled. And I think the worst days of their entire life came right after Jesus was executed. What must it have been like for them to have gathered together in fear, wondering if it was going to happen to them? Wondering, what do we do now? We have these plans. What do we do now? He's gone. He's dead. What do we do? On the Saturday, the Sabbath day, there's nothing they can do. The law limits even how far they're able to travel on that day. And all they can do is gather together, probably tell stories of Jesus, what they thought was going to happen, and cry. And Mary, we're told, is still in tears. Of course she's still in tears. How many of you have suffered a loss and all you can do initially is cry? Cry and wail out. Cry and say, this was not in the plans. This is not what I thought was going to happen. So Mary, on the first day of the week, goes to the tomb, tears streaming down her face. John's gospel, we don't have her carrying spices. We don't have her about to do anything but go to the tomb and weep.
weep after this one that she's followed, this one whose ministry she has supported, this one that she has loved. She goes to the tomb and weeps. That was her plan. Just go and think about what could have been. Just be caught up in her grief. But she gets to the tomb and she sees that the stone has been rolled away. And the only thing on her mind is someone has come and stolen away his body. And I don't know where they put it. So she runs back and tells that the others who are gathered together, the 11 who are gathered together, and the women who are with them, they've stolen his body. I don't know where he is. So we're told that Peter and one of the other disciples, commonly thought of as John, run to the tomb. One gets there first and looks in, and then Peter rushes by him, looks around. The other disciple goes in. We're told that one of them believes, but we're also told that they don't quite understand what has just happened. And so they go back to that room where they've been gathered, and Mary stays. And that there are angels that she encounters, but you know how it is when your eyes are so filled with tears, you can't see. So to her, they're just men in white. So where is he? Where have they taken him? I don't know where he is. Just tell me where he is. And she sees another figure, and that's all that she can say. Tell me where he is. Please tell me where he is, and I'll take his body away. Please tell me. How heartbreaking that must have been for her. She's gone there just to weep at his tomb, and he isn't even there. And she doesn't know where he is. And he asks, "Woman, why are you weeping?" But she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't recognize him until he calls her name, Mary. And then through her tears, she understands who this is. And I imagine that she got up, ran, and grasped his feet. And he tells her that she can't hang on to him. He needs to ascend to his Father. And she goes running back and tells the others. He's not where she expected him to be. She expected him to be still there, lying in the tomb. He's talked about resurrection, but all that they really know of is resurrection on the last day. The dead stay dead. Okay, there have been a couple of instances where Jesus was the one who raised people, but how can this happen? And they don't understand. Jesus has to appear to them over and over again. And we'll hear stories of that in our coming weeks. But Jesus is not where they expect him to be. Jesus was not who they expected him to be. So where do we look for Jesus today? On Easter, we think of all the various symbols of Easter, don't we? What do you think of when you think of Easter? I saw some jelly beans, Easter eggs, bunny rabbits, little chicks. Some of you are thinking of the plans that you have to make for yet another big family feast. I think of all the work that went into decorating this church for Easter. But do we see Jesus in it? Where do we see Jesus? Where do we find him today? Where are we looking for him? Are we looking for him? Are you looking for Jesus? Where can you find him? I think the best place that we find him is in one another. To see in one another an image of Jesus, to acknowledge that in the waters of baptism we all became brothers and sisters, we're all siblings. Even if we come from different faith practices, we're still siblings. We have the same Father. We see Jesus in one another. We see Jesus in the waters of baptism, and I rejoice at every baptism. We see Jesus in communion. And I've told the worship committee that you can play whatever song you want at communion. I don't hear it. I zone out at communion. For me, that's just a special time. I rejoice at communion. The idea that Jesus has given himself to us. So that's my challenge for you. Think of where you find Jesus. Think of where you're searching for Jesus. Are you looking in the wrong places? But also remember, even if you're not looking for Jesus, Jesus is looking for you. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. It is, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, number 619.
Thank you.
let us together confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news.
Holy God, we pray for the body of Christ, the church, where the church is persecuted, protect it; where the church is privileged, grant it humility; where the church is fractured, heal it. Guide us all to embody Christ's love in the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Life-giving God, we pray for the earth, your good creation. Join our prayers with branches lifted in praise and roaring waters of new life, that together we may proclaim Easter hope. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all peoples and nations, free oppressed communities from occupation, exploitation, and abuse. Teach leaders your way of justice. Empower peacemakers and all who work to end violence and strife. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Liberating God, we pray for people everywhere who long for good news. Roll away the stones that keep people from living with dignity and wholeness. Breathe new life and hope into people struggling to make it through each day. At this time, we pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for this community of faith and for your Spirit in our midst. Feed us at your Easter table and fill us with your wisdom, that we may serve and care for others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, we remember those who have gone before us in death, especially those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Renew our trust in your promises, that we live with joyful courage and compassion. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready, and all are invited to the Lord's table. One instruction is that in the center you'll see a lighter colored liquid, that is grape juice. On the outer rings, a darker colored liquid, that is wine. So please.
Thank you. life-giving God,
in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you sent light to conquer darkness, water to give you life, and bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ our risen Lord. Amen.
And as you go out to spread the good news to all the world, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, God be with you till we meet again, number 536.